I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen. Hey everybody, Richard Blissbrook here with another Road to Diamond interview. And I haven't met this lady yet, except for the last 5 minutes chit-chatting here on Zoom, but I got the opportunity to interview Shelley Garrett from Lake Jackson, Texas, who has an incredible story, Road to Diamond, for all of us. Say hi, Shelley.
Hi, everybody.
What's going on in Lake Jackson?
Not much. It's super hot.
I'll bet it is hot and humid right now, but we're headed to Utah where it's reportedly only supposed to be 100 degrees.
But it's dry, so it's different. It's
dry heat, right? So it could be 200. It's okay. So, Shelley, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story and your stats about how you got to Diamond. And I'm going to ask you the question I ask everybody to start these interviews off. Just tell us, if you will, who were you, where were you, and what were you doing before you ever heard of Young Living? Like, give us some background on your life.
Okay. I was at home with two baby girls. I have a degree in nutrition. I was very proud of my college degree, but I had never intended on using it. Mm-hmm. I was happy to be a stay-at-home mom, take care of them, do play dates, and go shopping and let my husband pay the bills.
You got a 4-year degree to make sure your kids don't eat Cheetos.
Yes. That's right.
Healthy kids. Well, that's worth a degree. And where were you living?
I was living in Lake Jackson, Texas, where we are now.
Still? Okay. So, and what was your husband doing for a living, or what is he doing for a living?
So my husband, we have family businesses. He runs and manages and takes care of 4 pawn shops that we have here where we live.
Oh, I love pawn shops.
Mm-hmm. It's super interesting. He loves it.
Oh, yeah. What fun. I love that. Okay. So that's the background. And have you ever done direct selling or network marketing before?
I had gotten into one company for about 5 minutes and totally hated it and was like, peace out. That's not for me.
What company was it? I always want to know these things.
It was Mary Kay.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, that's a different culture for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then next question, who, and you can talk about who your sponsor is if you want. But mostly what I'm interested in is your relationship with this person. Okay. So who introduced you to Young Living and what is the context? Like, where were you? What was going on? There's 3 questions here for you to tell a story about. And what exactly, if you can remember, did they say that compelled you to take a look?
Okay, so the person that introduced me is a childhood friend. We had been friends when we second, third-ish grade. Moved apart as, you know, got older. So I actually had not connected with her in several years until Facebook got popular. So we reconnected there.
Yep.
I watched her Facebook posts about the oils for about a year and a half.
A year and a half. That is so significant. So yep. In that year and a half, Shelley, did you ever comment?
I think I probably did. I mean, the things that she was saying was intriguing to me. I had never heard of oils. I had never heard of natural health or natural ways to do things. So I thought it was all a little crazy, but it was also interesting. I truly can't remember if I commented, to tell you the truth, okay. But I was reading.
So another question, which this is a key, this is a learning opportunity for everyone. What is her name, by the way?
Her name is Dana.
Dana. Mm-hmm. Had Dana reached out to you directly during that year and a half, like the first 6 months or the first 3 months or the first year, and said, hey, Shelley, can I sit down and show you what I'm doing? Would you have looked?
I think I would have, just because we're friends and I'm like, sure, you know. Yeah.
So what the point that I want to make about that, Shelley, is the gestation period of Dana and how she approached. So social media. And then we're going to find out how you actually heard from her. But the question I want you to consider, and I want all of you to consider, is where would you be in Young Living today had you started a year and a half earlier?
Yeah. Let's don't talk about that.
Well, another way to look at that is, how much bigger will your team be a year and a half from now?
Yeah.
And wow, that is so significant. Mm-hmm. And so tell us, how did she finally introduce you to it?
I actually asked her.
Uh-huh.
I had an issue, and she actually posted about it.
A non-compliant issue?
Yes. She did not know I had the issue, but she happened to do a post about what I was dealing with. And so that's when I called her and I was like, okay, I don't want to have a surgery that I'm being told I need to have. And you've addressed this. And so I need to know what all this stuff is that you keep talking about.
Right. So did you sit down and meet with her? Where does she live, by the way?
I did. She currently lives in Iowa. At the time, she lived about 2 hours from me here in Texas.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you sat down with her and she showed you all the oils. Did you go to a class? Did you buy a kit? Like, what was her enrollment process like for you?
We still laugh about this. Her mom and my mom were also good friends when we were little. So we kind of just made a whole day of reconnecting and everybody getting together to visit.
Cool.
And we got all our kids together and everything. She will tell you now, she did not want to sell me oils. She was like, you are my friend. I haven't seen you in 15 years. You're not coming to my house for me to sell you something. But I was basically like, no, I want this stuff. I need to try this. And so she kind of tossed an enrollment form at me and said, here, fill this out. And she had a kit at her house and she was like, you can take this kit home with you. And that's pretty much how it went down.
So I'm wondering where that exact approach is in the textbooks about how to build a multi-million dollar business in Young Living. Step one, throw an application at your prospect. And step two, tell them you can take this kid home with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I just tell her all the time that she just got lucky with me.
I love that. Well, she didn't get lucky because she posted on Facebook for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And you know what? Most people don't do that.
Right.
So when you got involved as a customer, how long did it take you to see the income opportunity? And what happened that you saw it?
I really tried to think back on this. I naturally, when I find something that works, I'll talk about it. I'll tell people about it. That mm-hmm. happened. And I had friends saying, where do I get this? And I was like, I'm not real sure. Let me call Dana. And I had friends sign up very quickly. It wasn't an intentional income earning opportunity to me at first. I would say when that first check came in from friends enrolling, and it was, I think about $500 or $600, that first check.
Yep.
That's when I was like, wow, I mean, there's something to this, you know?
And so what did you do to investigate the something to this? Did you seek to learn more about the opportunity?
I did. Not super intentional though, not for a while. It wasn't very intentional. Dana, Teresa Jingles is Dana's mom. I know you interviewed her a few days ago.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. So she was I believe she was a platinum at the time. And she did host a get together at her house a couple of months after I enrolled to talk about the income opportunity and building.
Was it an opportunity meeting or a retreat?
It was more like a 2 or 3 hour, we're going to go over the comp plan structure, things like that.
Okay.
And I did drive to her house because I was like, I don't even know how I'm getting these checks really. And it would be nice to figure some of this out.
Right.
And so I went to her house to see what I could learn. I still felt like it was Greek to me, mm-hmm. that first time that I sat through all of that, which I tell people that often. I'm like, if you don't understand the comp plan the first time, it's okay. Right. I now teach the comp plan backwards and forwards. It took several times of me sitting through and looking at my own BO and going back and forth to get confident with it.
Right. Yeah. Well, in life, probably before network marketing, nobody's ever seen anything that looked like a network marketing compensation plan.
Right.
It's unfamiliar territory for people. So, okay, your gestation period, you know, what I call the unintentional, accidental sharing phase of your business might have lasted maybe only the first couple of months. So once you went to that event and you understood the compensation plan, what did you decide to do and how did you execute?
Well, to be honest with you, I went to probably 2 more classes that she had like that.
Oh, good.
And it was actually a year and a half from enrolling. She did end up hosting an actual retreat, and it was like an overnight event. That particular event, they had brought in a CPA to speak.
Yep.
And this CPA was talking about DBA, LLC, and all these different terms. And I was just like, "Woo! This is over my head. What are we even doing here?" But that is when I grasped that I was like, this is real. And I am that person. I have that personality. It's like you either do it right or you don't do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this sense that I needed to pay attention. I needed to get serious. And if I did, then I could really do a lot with it.
Okay. So at the time that you went to that retreat, that's like another phase of your business. The first 2 months is one phase. The next, 16 months is mm-hmm. another phase. What was your rank when you went to the retreat?
Executive.
Wow. So you didn't get much done for the first year and a half.
Right.
That sounds like the first year and a half was very much a sharing the products strategy casually.
Casual, yeah.
So it was the retreat. What else did they talk about at the retreat besides LLCs that had, because where I'm getting to this, Shelley, is there's a fundamental piece of building an empire in network marketing that would really serve everyone to deeply understand. And that is that people may join because of a product and they may share a product because it's a natural thing to do. But being an intentional, focused evangelist for building a team, for being a network marketer, that's not so natural.
Right.
And what that almost requires is that you as a member that's in some phase of product use and sharing, that you go to some kind of an event.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what could qualify as an event. You could go to a passion rally.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually go to one or more online events, you know, just virtually.
Mm-hmm.
You could go to convention. You could go to, you know, if you were a silver, maybe you got to silver just from sharing and lots of that. But once you went to silver retreat, wow, that's an event. It could be from reading a book like the 4-year career or game plan or a lot of other books. Mm-hmm. It could be from watching a video. Sometimes, but not always, not usually, it's from a one-on-one. What I call those all events because they are a boxed-in concentration of consciousness that is different than being a customer.
Yeah.
And that consciousness is all about, hey, there's a serious, extraordinary opportunity here to build wealth. Mm-hmm. People may not relate to that word in network marketing, but even if you build an income of $2,500 a month and it's all coming from customers and it's coming from 4, 5, 6 generations of customers, that's residual income. That $2,500 is worth $1 million. Mm-hmm. You know, the CPA will tell you that. And so what I like to like really focus people on is understanding the own event or series of events that they went through where they had that epiphany that shifted them immediately from mm-hmm. being a customer, being a sharer, to saying something like, oh my gosh, I can do this. I can build a team. And there's a lot of weird different ways people declare it in their mind. But once they make that declaration, they go on to build something, silver, mm-hmm. gold, platinum, diamond, something. And everybody peters out at some point. And then to go to the next level, they really have to go to work on themselves and personal development. We'll talk about that. So what I want people to understand about your story is the first year and a half, you didn't see it yet.
Right.
And it really took that overnight retreat. And that's so significant, Shelley, because there's such a dramatic difference between going to a 2-hour meeting in somebody's home mm-hmm. and hanging out with a group of young living leaders for 24 hours or 36 hours. That's a quantum difference in that captive consciousness, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So then what did you decide to do after you had that declaration, after the CPA or I was going to ask you, what else did they cover at that retreat that turned your lights on?
To be honest with you, I don't completely recall, but I remember sitting in and listening, and all of a sudden it hit me that if I decided that I either had to quit or I had to do it all out. And I'm not a quitter. So we knew that wasn't going to happen. So, but then the next thing was I knew that in order to get any further than I was at that point, I had to have a lot of people doing it with me. And so I don't know that at that point, I still didn't go home with a really broadened skill set.
No, right.
But I went home and I booked out my calendar and I literally focused on enrolling anybody and talking to anybody that would listen to me.
And that's the defining moment. Mm-hmm. And what I want people to listen to is notice what you said to yourself and notice what triggered it. You don't even know what triggered it. In fact, the best you can come up with, Shelley, is some CPA was talking about LLCs. You don't even know what was going on at that retreat, but what was going on was a captive consciousness of people talking about, hey, this is business. This has huge potential. This is real. This is serious. And your defining moment, your declaration that defines your transformation sounded like this. I either need to quit or I need to do this right. Mm-hmm. Like, what a fascinating declaration, right? And then your next declaration was, I need to get a lot of people doing this with me. Mm-hmm. Somebody impressed upon you at that retreat that you needed to go from sharing product to building a team.
Yeah.
And then notice what happened, not out of training, not out of skills. What happened was you went home and just booked yourself solid and you started promoting to everybody.
Yeah.
And what I want the listeners to understand is that's how almost everybody goes to Diamond, or at least, you know, gets enough momentum in building a team that now they're hooked. They have deep conviction. They're making, you know, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month. I mean, as a gold, you're pretty much, you know, a professional network marketer. And then it's just a matter of, do you want to go to Diamond? Do you want to work that hard? Do you want to make that kind of money?
Mm-hmm.
So we got the first year and a half, and then see if you can like put some numbers, quantify this. Once you decided to do this as a pro and book your calendar and sponsor a bunch of people, how many people do you think you sponsored in the next 12 months?
I don't even know. I know we've got to platinum in 5 months from that retreat.
So you went from executive to platinum. That's huge, mm-hmm. right? You had to sponsor a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you also had to inspire the people you had sponsored and were sponsoring around them seeing the same opportunity you did. How did you do that? How did you inspire people on your team to see what you saw?
You know, I don't even know. I don't even know that I was intentional with that. It was just when people did enroll, I was asking them, okay, we can sign up your friend and your mom. Do you want to host a class? I will totally help you. And let's do this together, you know? And I had so many friends that were like, yes, I want to host a class. And
we'll see. But Shelly, that I want you to lock in on that. That is so much significantly different than, hey, try these oils. Hey, use these oils. Hey, you know, these oils will cure everything, right? That's one conversation which leads to a customer.
Mm-hmm.
Your conversation leads to not only customers, but customers who have a customer.
Yes.
And the other thing that creates an event that turns people's lights on and turned your lights on early on was when they get a check.
Yes.
Because customers don't get checks. When somebody gets a check, that is an affirmation that something different is going on here.
Yeah.
And that's brilliant. You say it wasn't conscious or intentional, but it doesn't sound accidental. And that's a brilliant strategy. And I imagine you personally enrolled probably 40 or 50 people in the next year. And that would be how you get to platinum. How did you get to diamond? Like, did you do anything different?
Well, we actually got what I call stuck at platinum.
Yeah, right. Okay, good. There'll be some good lessons here.
Uh-huh. And we sat there, I think, 2.5-3 years. And I was not happy about that. not platinum is being amazing, but I was used to making things happen. And actually, I was watching, I don't know if you're familiar with the 12 Days of Diamonds.
I am. I spoke on it once.
Okay. Okay. So I was watching a 12 Days of Diamonds video this particular December, that the first year that we had done them. And I don't even remember which one I was watching, but I feel like I heard Jesus say, if you don't like where you are and what's happening with your business, then you need to go look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay. And I also started 2 coaching programs right after that. One was personal life coaching and one was business coaching.
And who are those with?
My personal life coach, her name is Sonia Baumhoff. Mm-hmm. And then the business coach is Eric Walton.
Uh-huh. Great.
And so 2 months after finishing both coaching programs, we ranked up to Diamond.
And how long were the coaching programs?
January to March.
So you did a 3-month coaching program, both personally and business. And so 2 months later, total of 5 months, you went from platinum to diamond. And what did you learn? Who did you become as a result of those coaching programs that doubled your volume?
Well, I learned a lot about creating a team, creating culture. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot about having empathy and compassion for people.
Yep.
I kind of have always operated in a very no excuses, get it done mentality.
Yep.
And not everybody responds well to that.
Right.
And so I really had to recognize that that was a lot of my personality, and not a lot of people were responding great to that. And so I think I just learned a lot about how to talk to different personalities and how to connect in with people that were different than me, and right. how to help people and meet them where they were. And my team just responded really well to that.
Yeah. Well, that's such a beautiful example, Shelley, of what I see people doing in network marketing in all companies is, you know, most people just mess around with the products. And then, you know, most people end up quitting at some point. But the ones that get enough exposure to events of lots of different kinds, that when they have that epiphany, the lights all come on. Oh my gosh. Wow. I can do this. They go do it very quickly, mm-hmm. within a year or two, up to their level of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get stuck.
Yeah.
And the really smart ones, they do something. They keep going to some kind of events that are not raw, raw network marketing, Young Living events, but they go through some kind of programs, or they get coaching, or they read, or they do something to sort of thump their bowl, give them a shift, look in the mirror. What is it about me that is not inspiring enough people to do what I did?
Mm-hmm.
And you share that in such a beautiful, articulate way. You got the coaches, you did the coaching, you changed how you saw people, how you listened to people, how you talked to people, you changed your state of being, and voila, your income tripled, right?
Yeah.
And that's the essence of leadership. What are you learning now about you and your team and your path? Like, what's going on right now for you that there are lessons for other people in?
I don't think we'll ever be done learning enough about leadership.
Right.
I'm constantly peeling back layers. And, you know, I have a lot of people on my team that have been with me from the beginning. And in order to, you know, stay in this game and withstand all the stuff that gets thrown at you in this arena, you have to continue to learn more about yourself and dig deep and learn where your roots came from and learn about the things that make you respond to the way, make you respond to whatever's in going on.
Right.
And I think I have a lot of girls that they feel kind of stuck right now.
And what are you doing to lead them to a place of transformation?
Well, I'm definitely learning myself that I can't personally move one person from one place to another. It is slowing down and having compassion for them where they are, but also not enabling them where they are.
Right.
And I think that's a fine line, and that's hard to balance sometimes. I am doing my best to expose my girls to coaching and bringing in some programs and bringing in some different opportunities for them to get involved in, and then for them to make that choice to be involved. Definitely ones that have helped me a lot.
Yeah, that's smart. And so you have a really strong ER percentage and activity rate and average PV per member. What have you done culturally with your team to keep them deeply engaged in the Young Living product line, in education and, you know, spreading out their usage throughout the 600 products, creating passion for the products? Have you done anything specifically throughout your career to do that?
You know, I really attribute that to our business has, I would say, 99% been built with in-person interaction. Mm-hmm. Very little online, you know, following presence, things like that. So obviously when you have that in-person connection, there's the relationship is being built, trust is being built, right? And so that I feel like because I have enrolled so many people that way, typically those people turn around and enroll people the same way, right? And so I feel like so much of our team has been strongly built on that. And so then when we do our education and when we do our Facebook Lives and when we do our events, people are, they trust us and they listen to us and they want our recommendations. And it's everything is built on honesty and trust. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say something that isn't true for me. And my organization definitely knows that about me. So I think it's a big trust factor and a big relationship factor that we've done really well with.
Right. Okay. So how about maybe it's different the first year or two or three, but you've personally enrolled now a lot of people. Where do you find people and how do you approach people? What do you say to people that has them be willing to listen?
Where do I find people? For one, I'm still continuously building my social media as far as being in different Facebook groups and building relationships there with people I don't know, you know, and adding to my friend list and things like that.
You're a networker.
I absolutely love vendor events. So I periodically will do vendor events throughout the year just to meet people I otherwise never would meet.
What kind of vendor events do you do?
I have done all kinds of vendor events. One of my favorite ones is our local county fair. I'll have a booth out there for the week.
Right.
You know, and just meet people that are in my community. So it's just, I do craft shows and I've not really said, oh, I won't do that or I won't do that one. You know, right. It's kind of just an opportunity that comes up.
Have you done a gun show yet?
I have not, but one of my leaders has.
I saw a Young Living booth at a gun show a few years back.
Yep. I have a girl she's been to an RV show and a gun show, all kinds of stuff.
Right.
You just never know.
Exactly. You don't, because, you know, some husband might have drug his wife to the gun show and she's tired of looking at guns.
Absolutely. But I'm very straightforward with my approach. I will tell people what I feel strongly about listening to the needs of the people you're talking to.
Yep.
They're going to tell you something that they're struggling with at some point. And I have a solution and I can say, I've totally, you know, there's something that we do for that. Would you like to hear about that? Would you be willing to try this? You know,
right.
I'm not afraid to jump right in there and say, this is what we use and this is what has happened for us. And I'm happy to show you guys how to do this. Would you like to become a member?
There you go.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, it sounds, Shelley, like your secret sauce is at the 18-month mark, you just decided that you were going to go tell everybody about this product line and this opportunity, and you've been doing that ever since. And whenever you sort of felt like something wasn't working, you went and got in a conversation with people that could support you in seeing it different and seeing you different and people different, and you shifted, and then growth comes from that. Where do you see yourself going in Young Living in the next 4, 5, or 6 years? Do you feel like you're earning more money than you know what to do with? Do you feel like resting? Do you feel like coasting? Or do you have a vision that no amount of money is enough to fulfill, like contribution, less fortunate people, travel? Like, what's next for you?
Well, RCD is the end game.
Yep.
Because I'm super goal driven, and that's the highest goal in our company. So that's that. There isn't an amount of money that's enough for me. And I don't mean that in a, you know, in a personal way. My dream, all-time dream, is to never have to base a decision ever based on my bank account.
Right.
So whether that's building orphanage for children and homes for other people or my own personal vacation, I don't want to have to make a choice based on my income level.
Got it. All right. So Shelly, I haven't done this yet, but to wrap this up, I'm going to turn the tables on you. So this will test your spontaneity, your creativity, your courage. I'm going to turn the tables on you, and I'm not interested in my answer, but I'm interested in your question. So those of you that are listening, yeah, listen to my answer. I'll make something up. I'm more interested, and I want you to be more interested in the question. And so to wrap this up, Shelly, the question is, if you had one question for me, I don't know if you know anything about my network marketing career or anything. And so I don't know. But if you had one question for me about Young Living, network marketing, leadership, what would that question be that would be a contribution to everyone listening?
Okay. I don't know a ton about your entire network marketing career.
Good.
I do want to know why you chose to get into Young Living.
Ah, well, that's a good question, right? I actually, owned my own network marketing company for 35 years. And I watched Young Living while I watched my company. And it's a long story, but suffice to say, the path I was leading my sales force down in my company could not compare to the path Gary was leading the sales force in Young Living down. And part of me is a numbers person. So the number that I found in investigating Young Living that is an extraordinarily profound number is the retention rate. Mm-hmm. And I found that number in Adam Green's virtual office. Adam is a Royal Crown Diamond. Mm-hmm. Adam was not only did I own my own network marketing company, but for 25 years, I've had a coaching and seminar and workshop and publishing network marketing tools business. And Adam was one of my top clients.
Okay.
So Adam went from silver to Royal Crown Diamond in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very interested in how that happened. And mm-hmm. I had a lot of other Young Living clients as well. And so I dug around in Adam's back office and I found his retention rate at the time that he was a relatively new Royal Crown Diamond, his retention rate was 46%. And I asked Adam, I said, how do you guys calculate that number? Because the number doesn't mean anything unless you know how you calculate it. And Adam's team was 7 years old. And Adam said very simply, that's the percentage of people that have ever joined my team that were on essential rewards last month for $100 a month or more. I have been a full-time network marketer for 43 years. I have never seen a company, including my company, that remotely created that kind of retention. My company was about 10%.
Wow.
And that is a number that I harnessed all of my resources, training, and leadership on creating, because in the end, it's the only number that matters. Mm-hmm. You, of course, have to have recruiting of both customers and builders in order for retention to matter. But, you know, every company has onboarding of customers and distributors. Some like go crazy with that. Young Living has done, even though it's not done it very intentionally, they really never had a challenge with new people coming on board. Mm-hmm. And most companies don't have a challenge with new people coming on board. What they have a challenge with is keeping people. Mm-hmm. And it's not the builder that we get paid on. It's the customers. Mm-hmm. Now, every time you get somebody like you, Shelley, on your team, what happens 4 or 5 years later is you have 10 or 20,000 more customers than you ever had before. Mm-hmm. We get paid on customers. But customers aren't any good to get paid on unless you can count on them ordering the product for years.
Right.
You know, sometimes people ask me like, well, you know, should I join this company or what company should I join or what product line should I promote? And the way I answer their question is, well, how long, if you build it, if you're one of the fortunate people, the motivated people that actually build it, how long do you want to get paid? People don't ever consider that question. But the answer is forever.
Right.
Right? And if we want to get paid forever, who has to keep using the products forever? Our customers.
Right.
Right? So if you have 10% of them using the product versus 40% of them using the product, I mean, I actually built a model, which I have a graphic of. I'll post it somewhere. You can look at it. But the difference between a company that retains 10% and retains 40% is not four times bigger. It's almost 20 times bigger. And so the reason I joined Young Living is not because I was an oily person. I wasn't looking for oils. I love the products. I respect the products. I use a lot of the products. But what I have spent my career doing in network marketing is teaching people how to build wealth with integrity, mm-hmm. and such that you don't ruin your life doing it, that your health is better and your family's better and your balance is better, but you also have built extraordinary wealth. And you can't do that unless you invest your time and energy in a network marketing company that once you build it will pay you forever.
Yeah.
So the fact that Young Living is 25 years old, the fact that it's owned by one person, which is very important, and the fact that the retention is 40%, we gave up owning our own company to bring our team here because the future for them here is about 20 times better than the path we were leading them down.
That's awesome. What do you attribute that high retention rate to?
It's not just the products. So, for example, when we first saw that, first thing I did is I called half a dozen friends that I knew that owned companies. Some of them owned billion-dollar companies that had added essential oils to their product line. And I asked them, so how much of a difference did the oils make? And to a person, the answer is none. Mm-hmm. And I have billion-dollar clients now that I consult with the companies, and they have lines of essential oils, and those lines of essential oils make no difference at all in the sales and growth of those companies. I'm not saying it's not the oils. I'm saying the reason for the retention is like your grandmother's recipe for something that is unique, it's complicated, it is art, mm-hmm. it is secret, if you will, but it's not just the products, it's the quality of the products, it's the spiritual aspect of the products, It's the seed to seal part of the products. It's the farms. It's the fact that everybody gets to go to the farms.
Yeah.
It's the fact that Young Living is not about money, and it's not about recruiting, and it's not about network marketing. It's about family.
Yeah.
And 100 other things that are very, very difficult to duplicate. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think creates the 40% retention.
That's awesome.
We're in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Shelley Garrett, you're a gem. What a great story. And boy, Young Living hasn't heard the last of you.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
You're welcome. thank you so much, Shelley. And yes, all of you listening, Road to Diamond, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Over and out. Remember, the work is worth it.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's runthruRank.com. We'll see you there.